What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Do you want to know why I wanted to do this real quick?
I'm a little curious because, okay, you know, we don't normally bring on Lucas and kind of browbeat him into telling a story like you did, but I'm sure you have your reasons.
I'm looking at an article in The Athletic right now. Want me to just read you the headline?
Sure.
Lawsuit accuses Shohei Ohtani and his agent of interfering with a $240 million Hawaii development.
Go Dodgers.
Cliff's notes, basically, you had some developers bringing Ohtani to be the face of kind of the marketing arm of this whole project.
Right in the face.
In the face. And he's such a big deal that basically he and his agent allegedly came in and just took over, leveraged his celebrity, got a bunch of people fired.
I saw this story, and they basically ousted the developer and the person who came up with this idea. And
the person who brought them in.
Well, and I looked at the property. I don't know if you looked into it, but every house is selling for at least $24 million. It is basically on a bluff in the Big Island overlooking the number one beach in the world. This is an unbelievably prime spot of real estate, and he came in and allegedly, ostensibly, muscled out the people who were putting this whole thing together and basically blocked their ability to develop it.
It's a lawsuit. It's alleged.
It's pending.
I don't know what happened, but I'm sorry. This is strike two.
What was strike one?
Dude, I will never, ever. Like, I gotta be careful here. Microphones are on. I can't accuse people of stuff that I don't know about. But I can firmly tell you what I don't believe. And I do not believe for a second the story that we've been given that put his interpreter in jail.
Ipe Mizuzawa?
I think it's the stupidest story I've ever heard in my entire career. It's absolutely bananas in 2025 to think that amount of money can be moving around and no one knew. And he didn't know. That's crazy. That's legitimately crazy. How does our court of law work? Our court of law works when something is beyond a reasonable doubt. Let's focus on that word, reasonable. Is it reasonable that bajillions of dollars are being moved out of someone's account and they don't even have any idea? No fingerprint, no passcode, no knowledge, no email, no text, no nothing. I've gone Christmas shopping and had my bank text me. Dude, you all right? You on a heater right now.
Dude, Chase fraud alert.
Hello. And I don't know why we ended up getting to a spot where they just like, we believed it. And there's way too much on the line, so it makes total sense. Who admitted it?
Ipe Mizuhara.
Of course he admitted
Currently residing at the Federal Correctional Institution, Allenwood.
Greg Anderson's online too. And if you've been a Bay Area sports fan for a while, you know who that name is. Yes, there's a fall guy, and he will likely take the fall and admit everything for, wink, wink, $100 million as soon as you get out of jail. I don't know what happened. I just know I don't believe what they've told us. Not for a second. So I've arrived at, I think Shohei Ohtani's a jerk, and we just don't know because nobody ever has to hear him talk.
Wow.
I think he's a total joke.
I mean, I wonder how much of this is colored by the fact that he wears blue.
None.
Some of it.
None.
There are other jerks out there.
Of course there are. There are jerks on the Giants. I don't know them all, but like,
name them. Name them.
Actually, don't even know.
Name them.
I haven't gotten to know this year's roster all that well, but like, sure. There have been things through the years where you're just like, that wasn't the most fun interaction, and that doesn't make someone an awful person or anything like that. But, like, I'm just going by sheer numbers. You ever walked into a room with, like, 30 people and been like, I like all of you? Probably not.
Not often.
Probably not.
Well, call him what you want to call him, but I call him the kind of hitter I want on my team. So,
oh, well, yeah, I'm not even talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, if
I'm not talking about whether I want him on my team.
Blocking land deals, allegedly. Possible gambling, potentially, allegedly. Come on down. I'll see you in the orange and black.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I'm not, like, I don't have this whole thing. I don't have in my head that everybody we root for is a perfect person. Okay? Game 4 of the World Series between the Giants and Rangers, I'm not giving Aubrey Huff's homer back. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
He's an awful human being. But he hit a homer, and the Giants won the World Series, and I'm not giving it back. So there's that.
Right.
But this is my belief. I believe that Shohei Ohtani is a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's what I believe. Mm. And that's what I believe. And it doesn't just go based on reading articles of these two stories. There are conversations I've had.
Sources? You and Steiny?
I mean,
you and Steiny in LA with your sources?
There are conversations I've had.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's all. That's all.
I've never met the man. I read through the full story today from the Associated Press. The Associated Press. And wow, if these allegations are true and it comes to light via a court case or a trial, I would imagine as this goes down the road, it will be settled out of court for probably 9 figures. He's got the money if he, in fact, is guilty.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So a bunch of you have called in with when a professional sports figure has been a jerk to you.
I want to hear about Lucas and Tommy Pham, because isn't Tommy Pham the one who straight slapped Jock Peterson?
That's exactly
in the outfield?
Who it is.
And I love Tommy Pham.
When you watch Tommy Pham play, like some people, when they just are on the TV screen, you're like, ooh, that guy's a jerk. Like you can just see it with Tommy Pham. But let's hear from some of our callers first. And then the Giants tickets are moments away. Wayne in Sunnyvale here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Wayne. What's up?
Not much, man. Long time listener. Don't call in real often. Love you guys.
Thanks, Wayne. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah. My terrible moment was with Jerry Jones. It was in, I think, 2008. It could have been 2009. Preseason game. They played the San Diego Chargers at the time. Had free club-level tickets at Qualcomm. I was trying to get my buddy out of there. He was very drunk. Security came through, said, hug a wall. They're leading Wade Phillips and Jerry Jones down the hallway. They had to stop the procession. Jerry Jones stopped right in front of me. I was wearing a Cowboys hat, Tony Romo jersey at the time. I said, hi, Jerry. Nice to meet you. And I held out my hand. And he wouldn't even look at me.
He wouldn't even touch
me. Oh, boy.
Ugh. Yeah. He treated you like a peasant, Wayne.
What's that?
Okay. I do like a good
and
Jerry.
And he was in gear, too, though.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne.
Like double gear.
What do you mean?
He was wearing a hat and a Romo jersey. Like the least
right.
Jera could have done is like,
yeah.
I kind of like that jersey
he,
on
yeah,
you.
He knew he was a Cowboy fan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, who's a Giants fan? Who's a Giants,
I'm a Giants fan?
You want to win a pair of tickets? Saturday, August 15th, this weekend, Rays Giants.
I'm a Giants fan.
All fans get to enjoy a City Connect concert featuring Saweetie following the game. Pair of tickets courtesy of Levi's right now. All you need to do is just be caller 5. Contest line, let's roll. 415-523-4652. Don't call the caller line, you'll lose. Be caller 5 now to the contest line. 415-523-4652. And remember, you can always buy tickets at sfgiants.com. Good luck. Remember, another pair next hour. So keep on listening.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Before we go to the phones and Lucas, mine is just one of the oddest ones I'll never forget. I was at one of the various Final Fours where you and I used to hang out. And I had an unbelievably great reaction with Dick Vitale in the media room. And it was a quick 2 or 3 minutes. I actually took maybe my first ever selfie picture. This is like 2006 or 7.
Dick Vitale wasn't mean to you, was he?
No.
Okay, good.
So I had an unbelievable one with Dick Vitale.
Yeah.
And I just told him how I thought he was awesome, baby. And he was so nice. I get in the elevator to go up to my seats. And right there is Dante Culpepper, 6'6", with a like mink fur coat on. And I'm all jacked up from the Dick Vitale, and there's only like two or three of us in the elevator. And I was like, Dante, hey, how you doing, man? Great career, and I got to tell you, I love that coat. And he kind of looks down at me and just looks away. And I was like, Dante Culpepper.
Wow.
You weren't good enough to diss me like that, Dante Culpepper.
He made a noise at you.
And it wasn't the guru sniff. It was a like, I can't even utter words at how much you disgust me. I'm just going to. And I was like, Dante Culpepper, how many animals had to die for that atrocity?
Oh.
Dante Culpepper.
You should have said that next.
Well, I think I had to get off the elevator. Yeah. He is quietly 6'6".
Yeah, but you'd been a rich man if he took a swing at you.
I mean, could have been a provocation sensation.
It could have been. Let's go to Omar in Oakland. Hi, Omar. Thank you for calling.
Hey there, how's everyone doing today?
Good, Omar.
We're fantastic, Omar. How are you?
Good. First time calling in. So
who hurt you, Omar? Who hurt you? And thank you for calling.
It was Chris Bosch.
Chris Bosch?
So, yeah, it was very random, actually. It was like a random weekday. I went to MoMA with my girlfriend for a school assignment she had at the time because she was in college. And I saw Chris Bosch. Or who I thought looked like Chris Bosch, because obviously, you know, you see the 7-footer walking through a bunch of regular people. And I was like, hey, Chris, like approached him very calmly. And I was like, you know, hell of a career, respect, man. Like, do you think there's any chance we could get a quick selfie? And obviously, you know, he has all the right to say no.
Yeah.
But the way he said it, he was just kind of like, you know, like I'm with my group right now. Like we're going through a tour. And it didn't look like they were going through a tour. He was with like a 60-person group, but I was like, all right, it's all good, man. Like, God bless. You have a great day. Like, no worries. And I just went about my business. But I ran into guys like CMC, and I ran into him while he was driving his truck. Christian McCaffrey literally stopped his truck to take my phone to take a selfie with me and my girlfriend. And I'm just like, you know, those kind of athletes, they give you that moment. And then there's other ones that you know, like, I just kind of bothered the guy.
Omar, I love that. I love that. Yeah. You tagged it with you know, one of the good experiences that you had. And by the way,
I stopped listening when he said Christian McCaffrey took my phone.
I know. I was like, oh,
damn,
that's probably
CMC? That's a little cold.
One, he's hard to catch too. If he takes
totally.
Your phone,
not like, last year.
Good Lord, that's a good point. Maybe it was last year. But although I don't want to like take Omar's thunder from him. His Chris Bosch experience, it didn't sound that bad. Like, he just said no. Like, that happens. That I always want to give the athletes the room or celebrities, whatever. If it's not the right time, think to yourself. These people are being asked this all day, every time they go out, if they're at dinner, whatever. I'm okay if you politely decline. But treat the people like they're human beings and talk to them. And it sounds like Chris did. Sorry, I'm with my people, and then Omar right. started judging whether or not he was with his people or not.
He pointed to a group of 60 people, like, I'm with that tour group. So Chris Bosch is just with a random, like, hey, the Wednesday 1 o'clock group, come on over, let's meet up here. And Chris is just the one guy in the 60 person group. It's possible.
You want to know something after the legal, because it's time for the legal. After the legal, I'm gonna surprise you with
time for the legal.
Who I thought has been one of the most polite. One of the most polite professional athlete interactions I have had since coming back home 7 years ago.
Okay.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Want to know who it is?
Tell me. Can I guess?
Guess.
Draymond Green.
Draymond Green, good guess.
I think you might have mentioned it before off the air, but just the way you built it up, it had to be Draymond Green. And I'll say this, I had a brief interaction with Draymond on a Raiders sideline back when they were in Oakland, and couldn't have been nicer. Could not have been nicer.
Telling you, like one of
stand
these...
Stand on it. One of stand these, on what you say.
I'm trying
stand
to.
Stand on what you do.
Draymond, I am. When Chase Center wasn't open yet, and some of the members of the media were invited to go tour it so they could show us what it was going to look like. And we had to wear it. It's the only time in my life I've worn a hard hat. Got to wear a hard hat, right?
And a vest.
Put on one of them vests,
yep.
Walk around and act like we're in dangerous territory. But we're just inside Chase Center. And on that particular run, Draymond was with us. And it was just one of these people. Again, there's always kind of different levels to it. Some people will shake your hand and be very nice. I've had a lot of people be very, very nice. I try to be nice to people. If you're nice to them, they're nice to you. I think that usually works. But there are certain people who are like, I am going to go over the top to make an effort to look you in your eye and hear what you're saying before I kind of respond. And it wasn't a lengthy conversation by any stretch, but that's how Draymond was. And I don't know that most people would expect that from Draymond Green.
Right.
But that's how Draymond Green was.
That's how it is. That's how it was for me. Yeah. And I, quick handshake, I was like, keep doing it. And he's like, thank you. And I walked away and I looked back and I was like, how is he able to do what he does at that size? Because he might be 6'5".
Not that big.
He's not 6'8".
He's not that big.
I mean, he's big and fit and muscular, but it's not like he's 6'9", 6'10".
No, it's a complete mystery.
Right. I give him 6'5", but probably not much more.
Hey, Lucas, what did Tommy Pham do to you? What did Tommy Pham do to you, Pham?
Oh, boy. I'll try and make a longer story short.
It's a three.
Was it?
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Dibs teased the story perfectly because it had to do with that slap heard around the world with Jock Peterson.
Oh!
This was 2 or 3 years ago. It had just happened. Get the bloop ready, Grandy. I was hosting the afternoon show with my good friend Ray Ratto, filling in on the afternoon. And I knew that I had really good seats that night. The Reds were in town. Tommy Pham, he's played for a million teams, but at that time he was a Red. And he was in town and he was coming to that game. I knew I had amazing seats. The best seats I've ever sat in for any game ever. They're the ones, I think it's the Audi Club, like right, your head is level with the dirt.
Keep going, man. As long as we keep getting drips, I'm happy. Go ahead.
I was like 10 feet from the visitors on deck circle, right? So you can picture where that is. And I knew that Tommy Pham was going to be in town, and I'm hosting the afternoon show, so I'm on the air brainstorming. What should I ask? What would be a fun way to just get him to respond, have some fun? And I'm like, you guys know me. I'm not a jerk. I just, want to have some interaction.
Right, yeah. You missed a drip there, Grandy, by the way.
Not a jerk, right?
No, when you were like, and I'm hosting the afternoon show.
Oh, yeah, second time.
Sure,
yeah. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Have you guys ever done that, by the way, hosting the afternoon? It's pretty fun.
I'm working toward
it. A man can dream.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So I was just brainstorming in my head what I was going to ask him, and what I landed on, right, I was going to ask him something that let him know I knew he was a jerk because he slapped Jock Peterson over fantasy football. And this was around July-ish, so people are starting to get in the mindset of fantasy football. My draft coming up soon enough, starting to think about where are we going to draft certain players, all this stuff. And so what I think he was second up, it was top of the first. I got there plenty of time, made sure I was there for his first at-bat. He's batting second, comes out onto the on-deck circle. And so I, very close, you can hear anything anybody's saying right there. You missed a drop. That was close, Grandy.
Very close.
Thank you. So where I landed was, Jock, Tommy, what are you thinking at the top of the draft? Christian McCaffrey's, he's injured right now. If you had the number one overall pick, who's the top of your draft board?
Dude, that's a lengthy heckle. You got all that out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Okay.
What's he doing?
I mean, in the on-deck circle. Yeah.
Maybe late arriving crowd, too.
In my head, that was the question. Maybe I was like, Tommy, who's the number one overall pick in fantasy this year? That's probably how it sounded.
Okay.
And he turns around. He looks, tries to find who said that.
Who said that
who
to me?
Who said that to who dared voice that to me? And he finds me. We make eye contact. And he goes, man, you ugly as... Turns back around, starts taking some dry hacks.
Oh,
and I had no idea how to respond. My only response was to just die laughing.
I mean,
with one of my really close friends, we're just like,
What else can you do?
Yeah, and yeah, that didn't break my stride, by the way. I still had three or four more questions the rest of the way, all about fantasy. Didn't look around the rest of the game.
Yeah, he had already given you his one response.
Yeah.
Wow, Lucas.
That's a tough one.
First of all, since you're still carrying that around, I just want you to know that there are definitely probably people on this earth who think you're a very handsome man. So I don't want you to take...
And what? Probably an equal amount of people who are actually uglier than he is as well.
An equal amount of people.
Does that mean I'm thoroughly average looking? I appreciate that.
Let's do producer ugly tiers. Let's call Mike Sando. What tier is Lucas in? Tier one, tier two? I'm kidding. We don't need to do that. But no, Tommy Pham.
I should pull out my deep dive I've already done.
Tommy Pham is someone that to me, and this was even before he slapped Jock. Like when you listen to him do an interview or you look at his face on TV, I'm like, that guy's probably really a jerk. That's probably really a jerk.
He was suspended again this year for making gestures to fans.
Right. Now,
Lucas, the vice president of hate.
You did start it.
I mean, you're a professional athlete. How do you not have something fun like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. I haven't heard that one before.
I know. I remember, you guys won't remember this guy because he wasn't very good, but Dibs, do you remember a backup catcher for the Reds named Joe Oliver?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. So this is probably circa... I don't know, late 80s, early 90s, maybe.
Yeah. You had me thinking of Ron Oster. Yeah. I'm not saying Chris Sabo.
All of them, dude. Yeah. Right.
Tom Browning on the Reds.
I'm out in the Candlestick bleachers, you know, with my $6 tickets or whatever, and Oliver's out in left field warming up before the game. And somebody just tried to heckle him because they were announcing the starting lineup and everybody's stats are up on the board. And they're just like, Oliver, you're hitting 160, dude. Like, how the hell are you not getting more? I mean, he's just in him, killing him for his batting average. And Oliver just, like, he took it for a little while, and he kept playing catch. And then he finally looked up at the guy and looked at him. He goes, yeah, I'm getting paid, though. And just kept playing catch. And you know, now we're a little bit more cynical and ready for stuff like that. Back then, that was like the crowd was like, oh. It was an inappropriate response. They didn't like it, but he was, and he did, and he said it. So
yeah, he made $8.7 million over about 14-year career.
Yeah, well, back then, a lot of money.
In his first year with the Reds, he made $68,000.
Oh,
1989.
Okay,
so that is akin to Kisner. Who's probably making a clean $800,000 for being the same as Joe Oliver.
No doubt. Real quick, a lot of people want to weigh in, and we're going to get to a bunch of you, but somebody wanted to call in about Draymond. Omar in Oakland. Hey, Omar, what you got on Draymond?
I'm the real Omar, first of all.
Okay.
I've been calling you after years. I don't know who that other Omar was, but
there are
I got two stories, man.
There's multiple Omars in this world. Real quick, Omar, because we're up against it. What do you got?
2019. Warriors are still practicing in downtown Oakland, and I was going to this place called Specialties Cafe. They closed down on Clay Street, made good food, good smoothies, everything. I see Draymond. He was getting inside of his Porsche, and I clearly rolled a window down. I was like, what's up, Draymond? And he just looked at me, and I'm like, what's up, man? And like he didn't even want to acknowledge me, and I gave him the finger.
Oh,
it is what it is. But I want to bring this up. Four years before that, it was like 2015, I was in San Francisco and I seen Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was still on OKC. And it was me and my cousin just walking around about a Four Seasons on Market. And I was like, Kevin Durant, could we get a picture? He's like, I got you, man, when I come back. He went to the GameStop, crossed the street, and honored his word and took a picture of us. So Kevin Durant was really a better person to me than Draymond. But you won't hear that in the media.
Omar, it actually doesn't surprise me at all. I think we do, and thank you, Omar. I think we've heard through the years tons of stuff about Durant. Durant is an absolute sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
Like, based on what I've heard. I don't know Kevin.
And both he and Draymond are undercover, super helpful to those who are in need.
Absolutely. And then the only thing on Draymond, because I wasn't there, I can't speak on it. I will tell you this. Dude, when you roll down your window and yell someone's name who's walking down the street, there's a minute where you're like, what's about to happen? Like, it's a little unsettling, I feel like. So maybe it'd be different if you were walking down the street and somebody could put a a dap on you or something like that. When you roll down a window and scream at someone, it's a little like, whoa, where's this coming from? What's about to go down? So I don't know. Maybe that had something to do with it.